This is Deborah Beck, professor of ancient Greek literature in the Department of Classics at the University of Texas at Austin. My students and I are excited to welcome you to our podcast, Musings in Greek Literature.
Welcome to episode 3 of the Sophocles Antigone in 2019 podcast. My name is Cassandra Winkley, and I am a fourth year classical archaeology major and classical languages major in the classics department here at the University of Texas at Austin. Assisting me for this episode is my fellow student, Rachel.
Hi, thank you for having me. My name is Rachel Pritchett, and I am also a fourth-year classical archaeology and classical languages major in the UT Classics Department.
In this episode, we will be covering the content from lines 215 to 242 in the Antigone, with a particular focus on the introductory speech of the phulax, or guard. This passage picks up in the play where Dylan left off in episode 2, and I'd like to take a second to invite you to give him a listen if you haven't already. However, it is not necessary in order to understand the content we will be discussing. We begin at the end of Creon's speech to the chorus, in which he makes a decree that the body of Polynices, one of the brothers of our tragic hero Antigone, and a traitor to Thebes in the recent civil war, will not be allowed the rites to an honorable funeral. This law, if broken, is punishable by death, which you will see carried out later in the play.
We see Creon having a back and forth exchange with the chorus for a couple of verses, where they argue over a misunderstanding in the logistics of this decree, when a new character comes onto stage. This character is labeled as a guard, but it is evident from his speech that he is performing the duty of a messenger by delivering important news to the king.
However, he doesn't seem to be in much of a hurry to give up this information. In fact, he rambles on for quite a while about his journey over, stating that he is not out of breath from running to get there as quick as possible, as one might expect. In fact, he admits to Creon that he was pacing around, literally, odois kuklon emauton eis anastrophin, circling himself back around along the path, due to his indecision over whether or not he should deliver this news, afraid that it might get him in trouble.
In the end, he says that he decided it would be better for Creon to hear it from himself rather than another, clinging to the hope, tes elpidos ded pragmenos, that everything will turn out okay for him. All this time, the guard still has yet to deliver the message to Creon, who the reader can almost feel growing frustrated with this obnoxious character who just won't cut to the chase already.
So, unable to bear it any longer, he asks what it is that has the guard in such an anxious state, to which the guard replies with a disclaimer that whatever he is about to say is not his fault, and that he shouldn't be punished for it. I find the word choice in this line particularly comical, as the guard says, Phrasai thelo soi prota temautu, literally translated as, I want to tell you about myself first, which kind of sounds like a kid who's been caught by his parents saying, wait, I can explain. After he makes his plea, Creon calls him out for still avoiding the point and tells him to get on with it, thus concluding our passage. For the rest of this hilarious interaction, Laura will be continuing where I have left off in episode 4 of this series, so please stick around to check out what she has to say. For the discussion portion of my lecture, I wanted to dive a little deeper into the nature of the guard as a messenger, a character trope that makes an appearance quite often in Greek tragedy. The guard definitely exhibits some of the traits typical to this kind of character, but there are also some aspects of the guard that set him apart from messengers, like the one in Euripides' Orestes, for example. Rachel, would you like to explain some of the traits we might observe in a character such as this?
Well, usually, the messenger character enters the stage in a hurry, remarking on how he has come as quickly as possible to deliver some important news, which is often unfavorable for the addressee. This is almost always a telling of events that have happened offstage and is primarily used as an expositional tool to fill the audience in, as well as the characters in the play.
And as mentioned before, the guard makes a point to let us know that he is not out of breath because he was absolutely in no hurry to be the bearer of bad news, so to speak.
The fumbling manner in which he talks around the point for so long is also atypical for this character archetype. The messenger usually provides the intended recipient character with a short explanation of what's been going on in order to prompt them to ask for more details, a sort of sneak peek that entices the audience to want to know as well. Once he is asked to continue, he launches into a lengthy expositional dialogue, which is sometimes referred to as a messenger speech.
The guard can hardly even bring himself to speak, but once he does, he also delivers his own messenger speech, which is a few lines into the passage just after this one. How else does this character deviate from a normal messenger?
Well, the guard, as we have discussed a little already, seems to have an air of comedy about him. While this is not a common trait found in messengers, it is also not a completely isolated event. For another example of a pseudo-messenger, as they are sometimes called, such as this one, we can again turn to Euripides' Orestes for comparison.
That's right. Helen of Troy's Phrygian servant also makes for a pseudo-messenger like the guard.
This Phrygian, in addition to sharing the previously mentioned atypical traits of the messenger role, also carries a comedic tone, like the guard.
This is what struck me the most as something unusual when reading this scene. That although what I am reading is supposed to be sad and quote-unquote tragic, riddled with disaster and misfortune, here is this character that is just annoying the heck out of the king, a guy who just came out on top after a civil war and has all this power. Yet we see him reduced like this by some bumbling guard.
And the Phrygian in the Orestes is similarly comedic. He's dressed in what the Greeks considered ridiculous, barbarian clothing, if you will, and also seems unable to make his point, despite incessant questioning from the chorus. These funny interjections within the heavy themes of each of these plays are definitely meant to serve as comedic relief, a trope that we continue to see implemented in popular media to this day.
But aside from eliciting a few chuckles from the crowd to lighten the mood, Creon's frustration with the guard also serves to reveal an important aspect of his character, that his patience is short and he's quick to anger. This is important for understanding what kind of ruler Creon is and tells the reader a good amount about how this temperament might affect some of the difficult decisions he will be faced with later on in the play. In exploring the character of the guard as a pseudo-messenger for my teacher of the day assignment, I have definitely learned a lot more about the role of messengers in Greek tragedy that I have never really considered before. Not only was this a valuable learning experience for me in thinking about what aspects of the text make for an interesting discussion, but also to see what it might be like to lead a class from the perspective of a professor. One of my biggest concerns going into this was that nobody would have anything to contribute to the questions I had planned, but I was pleasantly surprised by the enthusiasm with which my peers responded. My biggest takeaway from the experience will probably be how much fun it was to engage with students as an instructor, and I will look back on this experience fondly when I have a class of my own someday. If you enjoyed this episode of Sophocles' Antigone in 2019, please feel free to leave us a comment in the comment section below and let us know what you think. Thanks again to Rachel for joining me. I'm Cassandra Winkley, thanking you for tuning in, and I hope you stick around to hear what else we have in store.